Let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament readings for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from the book of the second book of Kings, chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they were both standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty,
God shines forth.
The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty,
God shines forth.
Our God comes. He does not keep silence.
Before him is a devouring fire. Around him a mighty tempest.
He calls to the heavens above,
and to the earth, that he may judge his people.
Gather to me my faithful ones,
who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens declare his righteousness,
for God himself is judge. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty,
God shines forth.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the third and fourth chapters. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say. For they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with
our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, while talking with Moses and Elijah, a cloud overshadowed him, and a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, the disciples saw no one with them but Jesus only. This is our text. If you've ever wanted a short sermon, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, this is it. I don't mean my sermon. I mean the sermon preached by God the Father to Peter, James, and John at the Transfiguration. It's clear, it's simple, and it's straight to the point. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. You can't get a shorter sermon than that. Short and sweet. And we hear and we say, "Oh yeah, uh-huh, got it, easy peasy, amen." And off we go. Except it's not that easy, is it? It's not so easy to listen when we're trying to add our two cents or to make ourselves heard. It may be obvious, but I also think it's worth saying again. We can't listen and talk at the same time. And I do want to make one very obvious application to our Sunday services. When the scriptures are read, when the sermon is preached, when the prayers are being prayed, please, no side conversations. Listen. Engage. Pay attention to the word. Bring a sermon notebook. Write down your thoughts. Hold on to those questions and bring them up later. Because when we're talking, it's hard to listen. And it's not just us. You don't have to look far in the Gospel of Mark to see the very same thing at work. Two examples. Here's the first one. It comes just before the Transfiguration. Jesus was teaching the disciples, and he was teaching them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. That seems pretty important, pretty central. So, how did the disciples do at listening to Jesus? Did they listen to him? I suppose you could argue on the one hand that Peter did, because he obviously heard the words. But we know that because he immediately took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. And I don't think that really counts as listening, does it? Lecturing, yes. Listening, no. You see, there Peter has an open mouth, but a closed mind and a closed heart to what Jesus is saying. And it's like his two cents are worth way more than whatever Jesus has to say. Yeah, that whole part about suffering and dying and rising again. But you listen to me, Jesus, and pipe down. So like Peter, isn't it? And so when Peter is with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, clearly that short sermon is for him. This is my beloved Son. You listen to him. But another example. Jesus, throughout his ministry, has told the disciples that they will suffer persecution. He says things like, "The first will be last, and the last will be first." He taught them two more times that the Son of Man would be condemned to death, mocked, spit on, flogged, and killed. And what do James and John do? Having heard all of that teaching, they ask Jesus if they can sit, one on your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Were they listening? Come on, guys, didn't you just hear what he said? No. They're too busy seeking their own glory. They're too busy trying to get their words into Jesus' ears. They don't want to listen. They do want to be heard. So like James and John, isn't it? So, of course, the short sermon on the Mount of Transfiguration is also for them. This is my beloved son, you guys. Listen to him. And I forgot to mention, James and John, that request to sit at the right hand and the left, that happened after the Transfiguration. They'd already seen Jesus in his glory when his clothes became intensely white as no one on earth could bleach them. They'd witnessed his human flesh aglow with the divine nature. They'd recognized Moses and Elijah talking with him. Heaven came to earth on that mountaintop. And if that doesn't get your attention, what will? And yet, like James and John, how many times have we been through the Transfiguration? How many times have we heard the glory of Jesus shining forth on that mountain, and still we have a hard time listening? Why? I suppose we could list a whole bunch of reasons, and I suspect that some of them would have to do with our environment and the context in which we live, which really is nothing but sort of shifting blame. The cell phone is not a great thing, but I don't know that we can blame our lack of attention entirely on that. I'm the one giving it to my screen. But I want to narrow it down to one thing, one other thing. We have a hard time listening because there's another voice that we hear way too often. There's someone else who's constantly got our ear. Who is it? Who am I listening to? It's me. Whether I'm talking out loud or I'm just carrying on that internal monologue, it's hard to hear Jesus with all the noise I make. And that's so like us, isn't it? Jesus has so much to say in his word, but can he get a word in edgewise? Do we lean on him to guide us, or do we trust in our own words and thoughts? And I ask that, I know, to a bunch of Christians who gather in church every single Sunday. It's not like you're not here and you're not listening and not reading the word. But I do wonder, in our own lives, when it comes to making a decision, when it comes to some situation that we're in, some need that we have, is our automatic first to go to Jesus and see what he has to say? Because he has a lot to say. He might not tell us how to take care of the plumbing problem we have at home, but he certainly tells us about how to interact with and deal with other people and how to live in this world. And yet we've got so much to say. It often seems that what I'm thinking or what you're thinking is obviously so important that it needs to be said. And sometimes we do have really good ideas. I mean, think about Peter there on the Mount of Transfiguration, right in the middle of that glorious appearance of Jesus, and he's got something to say. Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah about the Exodus, about how he's going to lead his people out of slavery to sin, death, and the devil. He's talking about dying on the cross and rising from the dead, all the things he's been trying to tell the disciples. And Peter can't help himself. Rabbi, teacher, it's good that we're here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I don't think Peter meant to derail the conversation. I think Peter was actually just scared. Terrified, it says. So terrified that he doesn't even know what he's going to say, but it doesn't stop him from saying something. How often do we do that? Fill space with our words. Occupy ourselves with things to do because we aren't comfortable just sitting and listening with the quiet. Listening means hearing, not just on the outside, but also on the inside. If children are to hear their fathers, how much more we who are children of the Heavenly Father? If slaves are to give heed to their masters, how much more we who are servants of the one Lord Jesus Christ? The great creed of the Old Testament, the one recited by the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament time, it's called the Shema. It starts with these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Hear, listen, heed. As St. Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the Old Testament, when God wanted to get his people's attention, he did it with smoking mountains, thunder, and flashes of lightning, the sound of a trumpet from out of this world. And they were frightened. And you would have been too. We should fear his wrath. When we hear God speak his law to us, we should be afraid. And we should not do anything against him or against his word. When the people heard God like that, they said, "Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, but don't let God speak to us, lest we die." The law is the word of death. There is death in the thunder and the lightning and the voice, and there is death in the law he commands. And so God spoke to his people through Moses, and he spoke to them through Elijah, and he spoke to them through all of the prophets. He used their voices, he used their lives and their deeds, and the people didn't listen. You could say that the entire account of the Old Testament is an account of the people not listening to God, or listening and then forgetting, or listening and then stopping listening, and that's the way it goes. But here we are with another mountain, and not so much thunder or lightning, but a transfiguration, a man who went up the mountain, and on the mountain he is still a man, fully human, but at the same time glowing with the very brilliance of God himself. God speaks in his own voice. The Father from heaven says out of the clouds, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." God has come in human flesh. His word is there in a person, not merely conveyed by a human being, but that man is what God has to say to us. He is the enfleshed word. Listen to him. Listen to the glory veiled in human flesh. For now God has a mouth and a tongue. He does not need to use the mouths and tongues of the prophets. He has one himself. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. So listen, not to yourselves, but to him. What do we say to ourselves, out loud or in our internal monologues? I know what we do. Sometimes we praise ourselves and speak highly of ourselves. Sometimes we condemn ourselves and cut ourselves down. Sometimes we make ourselves anxious. Sometimes we use our own words to justify who we are and what we've done. But our Father speaks from heaven and he says, "Stop all of that. Stop condemning and praising and worrying and justifying yourself. Close your mouth and fix your ears on Jesus. Pay attention to him." Pay attention to him. But it's not like you might think. You might think that listening to him means you're going to get a lecture. You might think that listening to him means that he's going to let you have it. You might think that listening to him means he's got a list of instructions, a list of commands, a list of orders for you to follow. But it's not like that. That happened on Mount Sinai, but that does not happen on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to him. Why? Because his is the voice of the bridegroom, the one bridegroom of the church who loves his church so much that he is willing to do what for her? To lay down his life for her. Listen to him, because he comes not to condemn. You have enough of that. He comes not to lecture. You have enough of that. He comes to save and to forgive and to heal and to love. The Father directs us to the only voice that can save us, to the one whose word gives life and not death, to the one whose word forgives rather than condemns, to the one whose word frees rather than enslaves. Someone might say, but why should I listen to him? What has he done that I should listen to him? I mean, it is a good practice, if we're going to give our ear to something, to think through why it is we are willing to listen to this person or that person. Maybe a slight soapbox for a second, but I think that we are all too ready to listen to voices of people whom we don't know, whose credentials we don't know, who might say things that we like or want to hear, but why listen to them? We know this one. We know who he is, and we know what he has done. And this is why we can lend him our ear. Friends, he is the one who is willing to go to the cross for you. He appears in glory on the Transfiguration, but he is not willing to set up the tent and stay there and camp out in the glory. He will go down from the mountain, and he will head into the valley of the shadow of death and the valley of sorrow. And if you'll hear it, that's what he wants to tell you about. That's what he wanted to tell Peter and James and John. The glory of the Transfiguration was there to serve his suffering and dying, to get their attention so that they could see him as the crucified Savior, and then know him in his resurrection from the dead. He wanted them to know who it really was who was hanging on the cross, whose word it was that they were hearing, who it was that was giving him his body and blood, who it was that was sending them out with forgiveness and baptism. This is not a slave. This is not a rebel. This is God himself, who has offered his own body in sacrifice for the world. Listen to him. And just what has he said to you? He has said, I baptize you, and I have adopted you into my family. And so you are and have been. Listen to him. What does he say? I forgive you all your sins on account of my blood and suffering. And they are forgiven. Listen to him. He says, this is my body. This is my blood. And they are. His word does it. Listen to him, because the one who was transfigured in glory speaks with authority, and he speaks with authority that gives grace and mercy to you and to me. God sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might hear him and believe. And he speaks something more. He says to you, dear friends, the glory that was seen at the Transfiguration is the glory that lies ahead for you. He told the disciples not to tell anyone what they had seen and heard until when? Until he had risen from the dead. So that when he is risen from the dead, they might see again the glory of Christ shining through and the promise of the glory that lies ahead for us. And so, dear friends, having heard Jesus, listening to him, that is the time then for us to open our voices. After we have heard what he says, and after we have come to know who he is, then comes the time for us to talk. The time for us to open our lips and declare his praise. The time to proclaim the wonders of his love. The time to take the forgiveness given to us and give it to others. Then comes the time to open our lips in prayer. And the time to repeat back to our Lord what we've heard him say to us, to confess, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have the words of eternal life. Your glory is the glory that waits for us. May our dear Lord Jesus Christ open our ears that we might listen, and then open our mouths that we might speak. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
A thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy Father, with the appearance of Moses and Elijah, you reveal to us that the law and the prophets are fulfilled in him. Send your blessing upon all pastors and servants of your church, that their preaching and teaching would flow from this right understanding of Christ and his work for our eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, grant faithfulness, humility, and patience to the sheep of your flock here at our Savior, that in our various vocations we may strive to love you and our neighbor in all that we say and do. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless the families of your church, that parents would teach the faith to their children and that forgiveness would be shared in all households. Care for all expectant mothers, especially Stephanie and Shayla, that they and their babies would be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, you alone establish all authority on earth. Bless those entrusted with this responsibility, both here and abroad, that they would serve with integrity and honor, and for the well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, look with compassion on those who are in need, especially Anne, Malin, Joan, Alicia, Nancy, Ted, Gwen, Ed, Kate, Rick, Stan, John, Blair, Karen, Kristen, Marguerite, Rick and Teresa, Verity, and Anne. Give them relief, comfort, and faith in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, be present with those who are mentally ill and their families. Do not allow the evil one to trouble them, but provide them with people who will care for them in their need. Grant them knowledge of your redeeming love. Give wisdom and sympathy to all who serve them, that they would serve with the strength you provide. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious God, through suffering, your Son entered into glory and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Grant your peace and comfort to all who mourn, especially to Thane and Shannon and their family, mourning for her mother, and to Jim and Ayla and Barb, mourning for their friend Karen. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you revealed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came among us in the flesh. Open our eyes that by faith we would see him among us here in the divine service. Grant that we would heed your admonition to listen to him as he forgives and preserves us at the font, pulpit, and altar. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness. By your grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution. Preserve us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. To the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 2, starting at the first verse. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.' He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord held them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.' I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me what will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned. The rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you."
was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.